If you want to look and you want to have or see a move of God, all you have to do is look in God's Word. Acts chapter 2 is a move of God. It shows you exactly what should take place. You know, I think these things should take place every time we come and gather in the house of God. So, but I want to start with a little foundation before we get in the message today. You know, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And then the first, in Acts chapter 1, all of a sudden Luke is taking off after Jesus' resurrection, and he's talking about the 40 days that Jesus spent with his disciples. And he was preparing them for this next dispensation. He was preparing them for the helper that was coming. He was preparing them for the church. You know, Jesus was going to go to heaven. He was going to send back the Holy Spirit. He told them to tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you were endued with power from on high. So they were gathered together. Well, what was this power for? Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, this power was coming for a witness, to be a testimony to others. So we find in Acts chapter 2, we find what a service looks like. Last week we spoke about the impartation. You know, they were all baptized. And that means every time we gather together, God wants to impart something in every heart and life in the room. God will not leave anybody out. And it wasn't only what's being imparted to you, but we talked about what you're bringing also. Everyone has a measure of faith. So as you bring your measure in, and I have a measure, and you have a measure, and as all of our measures come together, all of a sudden, there's a move of God. Amen? But the first thing that the church was faced with, as we shared last week, they were faced with some confrontation. All of a sudden, in their midst, there was some doubters and mockers. And every time there's a move of God, you're going to have doubters, and you're going to have mockers. You're going to have people that don't truly understand what's taking place, and that's okay. What did Peter do? What Peter did is he took them right to the Word of God. He said, but this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel, so he illuminated them on God's Word. And as he illuminated, what he did is he exalted Jesus. So when we gather together, there's an impartation, we have confrontation, we find there's illumination, there's exaltation, and then comes the presentation. Every time that we gather together, the gospel should be presented. Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And with the presentation, somebody has to receive it. There has to be acceptation. In other words, the Word of God says then that gladly received his word were baptized. In other words, when the word comes forth, it isn't going to accomplish anything in your life unless you receive it. You have to be in a receptive mode. So when we got together today and we started praising and worshiping the Lord, we were preparing our hearts to listen and receive what God has to say to each and every one of us today. There's times in the worship service where God may move in a different way than that. He may heal. He may deliver. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's God. All we need to do is just be sensitive to what he wants to do. It's not about what we want to do. It's about what God desires to do. So as we're being sensitive, then they said they that gladly received the word. They not only received it, but what they do? They continued in it. They continue daily. In other words, it's not only about receiving what the Spirit of God has to say to you and I today, but it's continuing in it. You know, matter of fact, in Hebrews 10, the Word of God says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, as we see the day approaching. In other words, how valuable and how important it is for you and I to continue to be in the house of God. Amen? And it's not always about what you come to get, because everybody's got something they're bringing. Amen? So as I was looking at this, and we looked at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were all in one accord in one place. And that word one accord comes if you're a student of the gospel, and if you like to study the Greek, it comes that one accord comes from the Greek word homothumadon. It's spelled homothymadon. And that word means to be singleness of mind. In other words, they all had one mind. They were coming together in unity and one accord with one mind to receive what the Lord said he was going to bring. They were tarrying for 10 days, okay? They were expecting something. And then in verse 2, where I'm going to preach out of today, it says, and suddenly, come on now, and suddenly, sometimes God will just come in and all of a sudden move. Is it, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about the breath from heaven, is the title of this morning's message, the breath from heaven. I want to talk to you today about the seven symbols of the Spirit of God that are in the Word. A symbol is something that stands for or represents something else. It stands for or represents something else. Now, this wind and this fire had an effect. You know, what we're looking at is the effect of the Spirit on lives that gather together in the house. Now, if you're going to affect something, you're going to influence it, you're going to impress it, you're going to have an impression. You're going to impact someone. You're going to move upon someone. So as we're preaching and teaching the Word of God, we pray that we are influenced, that we're impacted, we're impressed, and we're moved by the Spirit of God according to God's Word. Amen? And in the Word of God, there's seven symbols of the Spirit. There's the wind. There's the fire. There's the dove. There's the wine. There's the rain. There's the river, and there's the oil. Amen? So let's ask God to bless the preaching and teaching of his word today. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration today in God's house? Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do in my life today. I'll never cease to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for the word. Lord, we're grateful that you sent the word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do this day. Lord, I pray that prayer of Isaiah, where Isaiah said, Lord, send the angel and let him go to the altar and take those coals and take those tongs and pick up the coals and place them upon these lips. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, Father God. So, Lord, I pray today that you purify the words that are spoken through this vessel today. May the words that are spoken accomplish what you sent them to do, Father God. Lord, may each and every one that's gathered together in the sound of my voice be encouraged today. May they be built up, Father God. May they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, if there's any here that do not know you, may this be the day of their salvation. If there's those here today that have drifted away, may this be the day of their return. And for the entire body of believers, Father God, may our faith increase today because your word says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, we praise you and give you glory for all you're going to do in the house today. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, when I think about this, and suddenly there's a sound from heaven like of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. You know, all of a sudden the presence of God came in such a way that all they had to do is breathe. You know, we were singing a song a little while ago. This is the air I breathe. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The very breath, you know. And when I was thinking of that and I was listening to that song, the Lord just took me to John chapter 3. So let's turn there and we'll look at what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You know, in other words, we're not talking about the wind. The Holy Spirit isn't the wind, but the Holy Spirit comes in like the wind. The Holy Spirit comes in and has an effect. And Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse number 5, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Amen. And in other words, and the wind, you can't see the wind. Amen. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You can feel the effect of the breeze that comes. Or you can see the leaves blow or move with the wind. Or you can see a flag. Or you can see these things. But you don't see it. And that's what Jesus was saying. You may not see it, but it's here. Amen. It's here. You know, every time the Bible says, if two or three are gathered in my name, there are to be found in the presence there. So that we know that every time we gather together, God is here. Amen. And as we're looking at this wind, you know what the Lord was telling me? You remember when Jesus and I had arisen from the dead? And last week I shared about Thomas and how he sadly got the name Doubting Thomas because he wasn't there when Jesus first came to meet his disciples. But in John chapter 20, verse 22, the Word of God says Jesus came in and he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Amen. It was the breath of life. It was the pneuma. It was the breath, it was the air, it was the wind. And what the Lord was saying, as the wind comes in, it brings life. It brings life. You may be in a place in your life where you're in a dead situation. You may be in a dead job. You may be in a dead marriage. You may be in a dead situation wherever you find yourself. Just the pneuma of God, just the breath of life that come in can change things in a moment. Amen. It's not as bad as it seems. All of a sudden, things could change in the atmosphere in just a moment. Just a moment. Just a moment. And when I was looking at that, looking at that in in Ezekiel, Ezekiel 37. Amen. You know, Ezekiel's in this mountaintop, and he's looking down, and there's a valley that's full of dead things. There's a valley that's full of dead bones. There's a bunch of skeletons there. And God just poses a question to Ezekiel. He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Just a question. Ezekiel probably, he had a pretty quick answer. Says, "Lord, you know." In other words, I don't have the answer, Lord. I don't have the response, but I know that you do. Amen. In other words, when I'm faced with a dead situation or a dead circumstance and I'm trusting in God, all of a sudden it may not look like there's any life to it or any way that it can change, but all of a sudden, by the word of God, what he said in Ezekiel 37, he prophesied. He said in verse 7, he said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." That sometimes was, you look dead, but you look alive, but you don't have any life in you. You know, you almost seem to be there. In other words, we have to expect the pneuma, the breath of life to come in and transform us. You know, when the Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In other words, we got to let the Word and the Spirit come in and transform our lives. Amen. In other words, I've got to adjust myself to God's Word. Amen. I've got to adjust my life to Him. I've got to adjust the way I look, adjust the way I speak. You know, I can either speak into death or I can speak life. I choose. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. And in other words, he was saying, no matter what it looks like, prophesy to the winds. Call breath into these bones. And the Bible says, as Ezekiel prophesied and called forth the four winds, that breath came into those bones and they lived, an exceeding great army. Amen. In other words, when the Holy Spirit moves and we allow the wind of the Spirit to move, all of a sudden the pneuma of the Spirit can bring life into some dead situations. Amen. 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 So when we're gathered, you know, the reason the Lord told me to give me instructions about preaching this, because we use these cliches all the time. The wind, the fire, the rain. And everything. And some people just look at us like they come to church, they don't even understand what we're talking about. You know? In other words, God wants you to understand that the wind is a symbol of the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit, there is what? No life. The Bible says, no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him by the pneuma, by the Spirit, okay? So we find that the first one was a wind. Then he said, and then the clothing tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Amen? Clothing tongues of, as of fire. You know, and when we look at fire, there's in the Spirit, there's two types of fire. There's an inward burning, and one day there's an outward burning. While we still have time, we're going to talk about the inward burning, because in the last days, all of our works are going to be tried by fire. You know, God says every last one of us, our works will be tried by fire to test what sort of work they were. Amen? So in Matthew chapter 3, let's look at John the Baptist. Amen. John the Baptist is getting ready to baptize Jesus. In verse 11, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." This fire was prophesied in Malachi chapter 3. At the end of the Old Testament, we find in Malachi 3, verse 1, he says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way," talking about John the Baptist, "before me, even the Lord, whom ye shall seek, and shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And so we find that Jesus is baptizing with fire. The fire is an inside. It's burning up the shape. It's burning up the old man. Amen? And in his old ways, there's a burning fire that's within you and I. The Holy Ghost, if we're saying, "Lord, send your fire," we ought to be careful while what we're calling for. And when he sends his fire, we better be ready for change. Hello? Because this fire just isn't getting a bunch of people hot. It isn't getting people just a bunch of people excited. It's about purifying. And every time when I'm asking for the fire of God, the Holy Spirit reveals something in my life that needs purifying, that needs change. I haven't arrived yet. Hello? I'll tell you once and I'll tell you 1,000 times, my sanctification is a process that's going to take my entire lifetime. I'm not who God's called me to be yet, but I'm not the man I used to be. Amen? And as I keep on walking towards the Lord, I'm being perfected in His image. We're all being perfected in His image. So when we're calling down the fire from heaven, we're calling down a fire that purifies. It's a purifying fire. Matter of fact, in Jeremiah chapter 20, I think. Lost my thought. Jeremiah chapter 20. That's right. Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah didn't want to go. God was sending him. Jeremiah didn't want to go. He wasn't going to follow out. But he said, but his word was like a fire that was shut up in my bones. Amen. And there was a fire inside him and he couldn't hold it back. He said, I couldn't forbear. Amen. And when we're praying for the Holy Spirit to descend fire from heaven. Amen. In other words, there was something that came on these people. There was clothing tongues as a fire. In other words, their tongue was divided. They all spoke in a new language that they didn't know before. And it's not the gift of utterance or a static language. It was dialects that were spoken. And everyone in the room understood. And everyone understood in their own language. And all of a sudden, before they were afraid to say the name Jesus in public. But all of a sudden, when the fire of the Holy Ghost came, they were like Jeremiah the prophet. They couldn't forbear. They couldn't but open up their mouth to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Amen. And if you're having a difficult time sharing Jesus with a lost and dying world, you need some fire of the Holy Ghost to get shut up your bones so you open your mouth and make known the mysteries of the gospel. Amen. So that's what was taking place. God wants the whole world to be saved. He doesn't want, He is not slack concerning His promise. Promises like some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen. So sometimes He's going to come in like the wind. Sometimes He's going to come in like a fire. And the third thing I saw here is He came in Matthew 3, is like a dove. He wasn't a dove. He come in like a dove. Amen. So when we look at Matthew 3, turn there again in verse number 16, I think. 16. Jesus is being baptized. Recognize the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are all participating in this. Amen. The Bible says in verse 16, and Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. In other words, it wasn't a dove. It was the appearance of a dove. It was like a light that came down from heaven and it sat upon Him. And when I think of a dove, it represents peace. He's the Prince of Peace. I look at a dove and it's gentle. Amen. And as children of God and as operating in the Spirit of God, we're to be gentle with one another. We're to be operating in the fruit of the Spirit with love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. In other words, we're to walk in the love of God. This was a form of the Spirit. It wasn't the Spirit, but it had the effect. In other words, it was something in the natural that they could see and witness, that something came down upon Him and lighted upon Him that everyone saw. And then they heard a voice from heaven that said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. So we find that the Father was there because He said, this is My beloved Son. The Son was there. He was being baptized by John the Baptist. And the Holy Spirit was there because He came down in the form of a dove and lighted upon Him. And when Jesus in Matthew 10 was sending His disciples out, He says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. So when we're going out and we're sharing the love of God, we're going out in gentleness. I'm not going out in confrontation. I'm not going out to tell anybody how bad they are. I'm going out to tell people how good Jesus is. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, that I'll draw all men unto me. In other words, I'm going to lift the name of Jesus. And as he lift that name, amen, he'll bring them to him. So I'm not, when we're going out and we're sharing the love of God, I don't know what y'all you're going through, but God does. And I'm going to love you just where you're at. Amen. I'm going to love you where you're at, and I'm going to pray it for God's call on your life. I'm going to prophesy to you good things. Amen. Hey, there's enough tearing down in the world. People don't need to come to the body of Christ to get torn down. Amen. This spirit that comes, this spirit is joy. This spirit is peace. This spirit is love. It's a gentle spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a gentle spirit. It didn't flop down on him and bear his wings. It sat down upon him and lighted upon him. It gently came down and engulfed Jesus. And we find that Jesus started operating in the power from that moment. Amen. He says not only does he come in like the wind, sometimes he'll come in like the fire. Sometimes he's like an unquenchable fire. Amen. Sometimes he'll come in like the dove. He's a representation. Remember, it's a symbol that stands for or represents something else. We're talking about the effects of the wind, the effects of the fire, the effects of the dove. And then all of a sudden he goes and blows my wine. And if you haven't experienced it, he says the spirit is like the wine. Like the wine. I was an old drunk wino at one time. Hallelujah. But in Ephesians 5:18, the word of God says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Not filled with the spirits, filled with the Spirit. And let me tell you something. I've been drunk in the Spirit. I've been inebriated in the Holy Ghost. I've been in a place where I couldn't stop laughing and I couldn't get on my feet. And when I tried to get on my feet, I couldn't walk. I was drunk in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But you know what? When I got up the next morning, I didn't have a hangover. Hallelujah. I wasn't all burnt out and had a cotton mouth and all the things that came along with the drinking. And I wasn't sick and you know that goes there. Amen. So sometimes when we're gathered together in the presence of God, he can come in just like some wine. You know, and he says to you, Jesus gave him instructions. He said, you don't put this new wine in old bottles because the old bottles can't handle it. You put this new wine in new bottles. In other words, we're in the season of grace. We're in the season of mercy. We can't get confused the law. The law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. It was fulfilled. But at the same time, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Hallelujah. And the grace of God is shining down on each and every one of us. Amen. So sometimes you might come to the house of God and get a little drunk. What'd you do today? Oh, I got drunk. You got what? I got drunk. I thought you got over that. Oh, it's a new drunk in this. Have you ever been drunk in the Holy Ghost? Huh? Huh? I'll tell you what, Dan. I share with people that I've shared before. Man, I was an addict for years, and I used to get high all the time. I'm higher now than I've ever been my entire life. I got a buzz. I got a buzz that just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. Hallelujah. All I have to do is get in God's presence, and all of a sudden the buzz comes. I start feeling good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I don't have to look in my mirror. I don't have to live in the dark any longer. I can walk out in public, hallelujah, because who the Son has made free is free indeed. Amen. And let me tell you what, the devil can't give anything more than God can give. Amen. Amen. He'll charge you up. I remember the old commercial with the battery commercial just keeps going and going and going and going. The energizer, there we go. Amen. The Holy Spirit sometimes comes in like a, he'll come in like the wind, he'll blow in. You know, he'll come in like a, like the fire, he'll fire you up. Sometimes he'll come in like a dove, and he'll come in gently. Now, see, I'm a pretty loud guy, so the gentle thing's a little hard for me. don't confuse loud with not being gentle. You know, I come from a family of 9 kids. Whoever was the loudest got heard. And I was heard every time I spoke. Amen. So as we're speaking the word and we're speaking the word of God and we're here, God's not mad at anybody. Amen. I'm not mad at anybody. Amen. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a God that keeps giving and 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 giving. And he's just a giver. He's a giver of good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. So as he's given you and I, he just wants you to know that he's going to show himself in different ways. In the present, we're going to have mighty revivals in this house. The Lord showed me the vision that nations were going to come to this house. People are going to come all around, from around the world to this house. And the glory of God, when God gave him, showed us a visible sign, we walked out the door one after a board meeting, and the board members were there. You were here. And we walked out, and on the right hand of the wall, there was a rainbow that went up to that way. And on that side of the wall, there's a beginning of another. I never saw the beginning of a rainbow before, and there was 2 rainbows, and they both began at both sides of each sides of the wall. And the Holy Spirit said, he said, this represents my glory coming in and going out to the nations. My glory coming in and going out to the nations. He said it. He did it. Amen. Amen. And in other words, what we're saying is God's going to do some mighty, he's going to move in mighty ways. And sometimes he's going to come in like the wind, and sometimes it's going to be like a fire, and the place is going to be, in the midst of fire. Every time I get in the midst of fire, there's a lot of conviction. Every time I try to talk to the Lord about somebody else, he says, hey, son, let's talk about you. He just says, what about this? And you know, he always does it in love. He's never condemned me. Never. And if you've received condemnation, it is not from him. He loves you. He cares for you, and he has a plan in your life. And when that condemnation comes in, it's not from him. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So if that condemnation comes, you say, that don't belong to me. I'm a child of the living King. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. That I should show forth the praise of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I one time was not a people, but now, praise God, I'm the people of God. Amen. I know who my father is. Amen. You may not know who your earthly father is, but you can know who your heavenly father is. And your heavenly father is greater than any earthly father. I love my daddy, but I love my Abba Father. My Abba Father's been good to me. Amen. So he says he comes in. Where were we? We were drinking. Did we get drunk yet? Wait a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes he just comes in like the rain. I've witnessed this so many times in my life where he just comes in, and most of the time it's just a gentle rain, the moderate rain. He comes in softly, just, you know, you know when you're in that little mist? It's been really hot. You've been working and laboring, maybe in your garden or something, and all of a sudden there comes this rain from heaven that refreshes you, that renews you. You know, he said he would give you the early and the latter rain. Amen. The early rain and the latter rain. It, just sort of like what happened here. You see what happened on the day of Pentecost? It was like a downpour. But he said, when he stood up and said, he said, I will pour my spirit out. He said, in the last days I shall pour my spirit out upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall have vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your servants and your handmaidens will I pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. They shall speak under the inspiration of God. So as the rain begins to fall, we sing in here, let it rain. Look, no, Judy, sing. You follow Barbie. Okay. You do the words. All right, Judy.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Let it rain. Okay, that's my choir. Amen. Amen. We can preach it. We can sing it. We can teach it. Hallelujah. In other words, when we're praying and we're singing and we're worshiping, we're asking him to rain, we're asking for the rain of the Holy Spirit to fall down in this place. You know, matter of fact, in Psalm 72, verse number 6, he shall come down like rain upon mown grass as showers that water the earth. You know what showers? There's a fragrance. When the rain comes down after you mowed the lawn and all of a sudden there's a fragrance there, there's an aroma in the presence of God. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Remember, that's the Spirit of Christ. The Father, Son, the Holy Ghost are all three one. Amen. So sometimes he'll come in like a moderate rain. Sometimes he'll come in like a downpour. Amen. He just pours himself out. Amen. And all of a sudden, people start prophesying. I want you to understand something. When Acts chapter 2, 17, I've shared this before, but I want to share it because somebody, for edification. Just like this watch that's on my wrist has many meanings. Could be a small timepiece on your wrist. It could mean a sentry duty. It could mean something you observe. It could mean a watch, like a guard. So is that word prophesy. There's different meanings for that word prophesy. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That word prophesy, there's three different meanings. One is to speak under divine inspiration on future events from God. Another is to operate in the office of a prophet. And the third one is to speak under the inspiration of God. And everyone that has the Holy Spirit can speak under the inspiration of God. When he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, every one of us in the room is a son and a daughter. Amen? You understand that it's been fulfilled. We're not waiting for this to happen. So many people think that hasn't taken place yet. So that Peter was writing and Luke was writing about things that were coming, and Peter was speaking about things that were coming. But he said, no, this is that. This is that. That I was going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they're prophesying right now. They're prophesying the mysteries of God. And all of a sudden, those that heard it, received it, were all baptized and added to the church 3,000 in one day. Amen. So sometimes he's going to come in like the wind. Sometimes he's going to come in like the fire. Sometimes he'll be peaceful like the dove. Sometimes he'll come in and drunken you in the spirit like the wine. Sometimes he's going to come in like the rain. And then some other times he's going to come in like a river. Like a river. Like a river. Hallelujah. That's waiting. It's all good. Smile, it's good to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Are you with me? Is everybody here? Turn with me to Ezekiel 47. And probably if you get used to me, you'll probably just bring a pencil and a piece of paper and look later because I jump all over the word. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I can't get there quick enough. You talk too quick. Amen. I try to slow down. Hallelujah. You know, this is one of my, I got a favorite. I say it's all my favorite. I love the word. You know, Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel's painting a picture of a river that's going out to the nations from the throne of God. There's a river. And this river, he says he measured out 1,000 furlongs in. It was up to his ankles. He measured out 1,000. It was up to his knees. And then he measured up 1,000. It was up to his loins. Then he measured out 1,000, and it was overbearing, that it overtook him. And the Holy Spirit is saying, as the river, as the water of the Spirit is flowing from the throne of God, you may step in, and you might only want to get ankle deep, but that's okay. God will still minister to you at ankle deep. He says, you might go a little further, and I'll take you up to your knees, you know? And then I'll take you a little farther. Now, if you want to go, I'll take you farther. It'll go up to your loins. Amen? And then I'll take you to a place where, like Buddy Bell, where you have to learn to swim. If you were here Wednesday night, in other words, he was swimming in the Holy Ghost. He was swimming in the anointing. And God will take you to that place. See, Jesus said, Jesus told us in his word in John 7, verse number 37. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We know Jesus has been glorified. We know that the Holy Spirit has been given. So out of our belly should be flowing rivers of living water. Living water brings life to everything it comes in contact with. Amen. We're bearers of good things. You know, in the ministry, we say, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the mountains of the feet of them that publish the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In other words, we're bringing good news. And we're bringing out of our bellies through the Spirit of God are going to flow living waters, bringing life. You know, the Bible says, Matthew 6:23, Romans 6:23, excuse me, says the wages of sin is death, separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're bringers of good. I couldn't even quote the scripture from the hands of God. What about that? I must still be drunk. Come on now, let's get happy. Happy. We're happy that God comes in like the wind. We're happy that he comes in like fire. We're happy that he comes in with gentleness like a dove. We're happy that sometimes he'll come in like wine so we can get drunk in the Holy Ghost. We're happy that sometimes he'll come down like the rain. We're happy because sometimes it's a river, and you know what? Who determines how deep you go is you. You know, one time I would say, you know, Lord, why haven't you done this? And Lord, I'm waiting on you for this, and I'm waiting on you for that. And Lord, I've been waiting for this, and Lord, I've been waiting for that. And the Lord just said, wait, what? I'm waiting for you. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. He ain't going to force himself on anyone. You know, there was a song we sang. This is the air I breathe. I'm desperate for you. Amen. I'm lost without you. If we would get a revelation and an understanding in our hearts and lives that how much we need Jesus. You know, I can't do it without him. I tried my life. I was successful in the business world, but I had no peace. I had no joy. I had nothing until I had an encounter with the resurrected Lord. I had nothing till God took residence within me through his Spirit. And now that I have God, I have everything. Amen. I have it all. Praise God. Amen. So not only does he come in like the wind, the fire, the dove, the wine, the rain, the river, but he also comes in like the oil. The oil of the anointing. And the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews, chapter 1, verse number 9, that thou hast loved loving kindness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. When I think of the oil of the Lord, man, the oil of gladness. For he has made me glad, he has made me glad.
For he has made me glad, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Amen. Amen. You know, and then the James, the brother of Jesus, and we're talking about the oil now, the oil of the Holy Spirit. You know, he says in James 5:14, if is there any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the oil is a representation of the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we're praying over someone and we're anointing over someone, you know, I know that when I was ordained in ministry, I was anointed. Amen. I was anointed and appointed, and there was a transference that took place in my life. Amen. So as we're gathering together and we're looking for God to move in exciting and new ways, and we gather together in his house, we should be expecting God just to be God. You know, if he says he'll come in closing today, if he says he'll come in like the wind, he's going to come in like the wind. Sometimes it'll be a breeze, and sometimes it might be like a rushing mighty wind that filled the house where they were all sitting. Sometimes he might come in, he might come in like a fire. Man, he might set down upon all of us. And all of a sudden, everybody starts prophesying. You know what the prophecy is? According to Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, when I prophesy as a prophet, I'm to edify, I'm to exhort, and I'm to comfort the hearers. I'm to build you up, I am to encourage you, and I'm to comfort you. Amen? Then sometimes he's going to come in like a dove. And some services, and sometimes we gather together in the presence of God, it's just going to be peaceful. It's just going to be gentle. It's just going to be soft. Amen. Like the women desire. Amen. The women want gentleness. They want softness. They want the Spirit of God to caress them, to wrap his loving arms around you and love you like only a father could love his bride. Sometimes he's going to come in like the wine. Where it just fill you up with so much joy. You know, he said, joy unspeakable in the fullness of glory. Amen. Sometimes he's going to come in like the rain. He's going to come in moderately at times, going to refresh you. He's going to come in at other times like a downpour just to get your attention. Sometimes he's just got to get you soaking wet. Amen. And he says, sometimes I'll flow like a river. And sometimes I've seen it before, and I around the throne of God, when the presence of God is coming to the house and God's doing signs and wonders and miracles, and when he's healing people, and we've witnessed it on Miracle Healing Sunday. We have it the first Sunday of every month, and I've witnessed it, that there's a river flowing. And if you're back here, you ain't going to get it. I can go to the Shenandoah River, and I could sit on the bank all day. And if I don't get in, I ain't never going to get wet. Hello? If I don't jump in, I ain't going to get wet. And when God says there's a river flowing, man, you ought to jump in. Hello? There shouldn't be any fear in the house of God. I don't care what anybody thinks. I care what he thinks. Not that what you think isn't important. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not what I'm saying. When there's a river, you jump in and let the oil of gladness saturate your heart and your life. You see, most of the times when we're going through stuff, we're just trying to pick him up as an accessory. Listen to me. He wants to be your Savior. But the thing is, he wants to be your Lord. You know, I shared with this congregation before, every Easter, I would go to my dad's church in Riverdale, Maryland, and I'd pick him up as my Savior. And then, maybe for a day. And the next day I would drop him off and go on my own way. But on October the 12th, 1997, in the bedroom of my home, I made him Lord. Yeah, Lord. Lord. In other words, Lord, I can't do it without you. And I'm going to trust you with everything I've got. What I have doesn't belong to me, it belongs to you. I'm not just surrendering it by my words. I've surrendered my heart. I put a throne on my heart and I placed him as the Lord of it. I placed him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over my life. And then I started listening. You know, the Bible says the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord. He finds delight in his way. Oh, I found delight. And I found storms. But I found that every test became my testimony and every mess became my message. I found that God took everything that the adversary meant for evil, he turned around and used it for his glory. Nothing wasted. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God said nothing wasted. Nothing wasted. He has a plan for your life and he will not change his mind. He will not change his mind. And when we're talking about that in Acts chapter 3, second, third, close, whatever. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of God is reigning in the house. Let me say something. Listen to me. Repentance, listen, repentance isn't just saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Repentance is I'm going to turn from it and I'm going to walk away. Because if I repent and I didn't change my mind, it was never removed. So what God is saying to you and I, there's a time of refreshing in the house of God. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that they may be removed. In other words, I'm not doing it any longer. With your help, Lord, I can't do it on my own, but with your help, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. So in closing today, what is God saying to us? He's just saying simply, I have a call on your life. I will not change my mind. Will you surrender? Will you surrender? The choice is yours. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I'm so grateful, Father God, for your word. Lord, I'm so grateful that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house.